1 Kings 17, Elijah proclaims a drought. And I know that it just escapes us how a man of God, a preacher, because, you know, when we look at preachers and pastors, we look at someone who's supposed to share the hope, the love, the forgiveness, the grace of God. We go back to this time in Israel where that's his people. That was his land, and he gave it to them, and he made them promises, and he fought their battles. But he expected in return that they would worship and serve him. And when they strayed, he sent Elijah at this time, and Elijah declared a drought. It says in verse 1, excuse me, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab the king, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. So everything would be at the mouth of Elijah. And what a man to be so close to God that God would give him such authority, that at his word there would come rain or even dew. And the word of the Lord came unto Elijah, saying, get thee hence and turn eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. So God sent Elijah. Now, first, God sent Elijah to Israel to say, there's going to be a drought. The reason was to bring hard times. And the hard times were intended to bring people to prayer, to look to God and say, God, help us. That was the point. Again, we look at our situation today and the violence that we discussed ahead of service and the lack of order and the lack of common decency and the lack of joy. And of course, all those other things associated with it. But has that caused us as a nation to turn to God? Tomorrow be a Thanksgiving holiday, a day that is declared a day for the nation to thank God, to appreciate what we have, and to thank God for his provision. Do you believe that will happen in our country tomorrow? Will there be a national declaration that says, turn to God and thank God for his goodness? I don't know, but we ought to be thankful. I'm the only one I can control. And so the point was to bring the people back to God, and so there's a drought. And we know what happens there. Day by day, eventually it gets worse and worse until the pain increases to the point where people call out to God. At least that's the goal. But God did something. He told Elijah in verse 3, get thee hence, turn eastward, hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. God called Elijah to a time of respite, to a time of recovery, to a time of rest. And Elijah goes to the creek, excuse me, to the brook that is before Jordan. It said, it shall be, thou shalt drink of the brook. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So if you go here, Elijah, you'll be fine. What if God said to us today, there's going to be national pain, national economic crisis, national drought, national famine. But he says to you, but if you'll go to this place, I'll take care of you. Would you go? Would you go? Or would you say, no, let me stay here and suffer with the people? No, God said for you to go over here. Because, look, God's taking care of his man. He's making a point with the nation. But he says to Elijah, you need to go over here. Number one, if Elijah was out there and they say, you're the one that caused this drought, he would get a lot of criticism all the time, wouldn't he? But God told Elijah to get aside, to take rest. It shall be, thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And so he would have food, he would have water, he would have rest. He would not know what was going on, didn't have a cell phone. He could pull up and look at CNN or Fox or any of those. Right, so he wouldn't be able to look at the internet. nobody was going to come by and say, Elijah, did you get news that what's going on over here in Judea or what's going on over here in Galilee? No, none of that. You know, Elijah's isolated. He's by himself, by the brook. The birds bring the food. He has time to rest, time to pray. So he's not feeling any of the pain that everybody else is feeling. What's he doing? Doing what God told him to do. So he goes there, verse 5. He did according to the word of the Lord. He went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And as God has said, the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. Something happened, didn't it? Verse number 7, it was time for Elijah to move on. How many of you could get comfortable just sitting by the brook, drinking water, and nobody to bother you, nobody around you, right? No violence there, no bad news there, just him by himself in the natural surroundings, talking to God, reflecting on his life, no troubles, no needs. Don't you think he was satisfied with that? Sure he was. God had given him a directive to go there. So it's not like he had an overwhelming burden to leave this place until something happened. The brook dried up. It came to pass after a while, the brook dried up. And here's the point. You know, what's going on in the world will eventually get in the church. What's going on in the world will eventually get to us. There's not a single family in this church that I know of. Maybe you could raise your hand and say, Pastor, not me. But there's not a single family in this church untouched by the pain of the world. We've got people in our church that have been to prison, that have been to jail. Their family members have been to prison. People in our church that are struggling with addiction or have overcome their addictions. We've got people in our church that are struggling with all the different kinds of sins and struggles and obstacles of life. People in our church that have been through bankruptcy and have trouble from week to week paying the bills. Eventually, the trouble gets to us. And the trouble got to Elijah. The brook dried up because there had been no rain. And guess what happened? God didn't leave him sitting there. The word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. Dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. You know, as we look at that term, widow woman, in the Bible, widows, in this, you know, because we're looking at that time, we have widows in our church now. Again, they struggle with the loneliness. They're struggling some this year with that empty seat at the table. There is a loss for that one that they love. Still love them. They're no longer with them. But as we look at the ones in the Bible, we see some examples. Can you name a widow in the Bible? Naomi, we just talked about her Sunday. By the way, Ruth was also a widow. Who else? Anybody else? David married Bathsheba, a widow. So Solomon was the son of a widow. He also married Abigail, another widow. We come to the New Testament and we find a widow placing her offering in the basket. And Jesus attracts attention. He says, that's sacrifice right there. That's somebody who really means what she says. But in the Bible, the widows are always exalted as examples for the rest of us. And here again, God has chosen a widow to do his work. He has chosen a widow to sustain Elijah. So he arose. He went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. As she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse. Behold, I'm gathering 2 sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. The pain was real. The drought was real. The helplessness, the hopelessness that we see here in this woman is painful. But go back up to verse number 9. God said, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, I don't know. We're not told how that command was delivered. Are we? I didn't see it in there. We don't know if there was a vision. The Lord said, I'm sending Elijah. I want you to take care of him. Doesn't tell us. Or if it was just a spiritual thing within her heart that she would have a desire to take care of a stranger or a prophet. But the Bible says that God commanded her to take care of Elijah. And I don't know if God said to her, take care of Elijah, and she said, I don't have enough. I don't know. Y'all remember when Jesus was going to feed the multitudes? And he turned to the apostles, he said, guys, how much do we have? And they said, not enough to feed 12 of us. Certainly not enough to feed thousands of us. And he said, what? Give me what you have. That's what he said. Give me what you have. And so here we see this woman literally scraping the bottom of the barrel. I don't know if you've ever been there, but certainly if you have, you can relate to how hard it is to know that someone else is dependent on you and you have nothing in the barrel. A little bit of oil, a little bit of meal, and that's it. Just enough to make one little cake and eat it and then die. Hopeless. She was literally hopeless. And widows, as we see in the Bible, relying on others for their kindness to take care of them. But see, now here's what happens. When there's a national crisis, the trickle-down effect is less. Just as that brook ran out of water, and that last little trickle of water came through, the same thing happens in an economy. As people have less to give, less to share. And now this widow woman, who relies probably on the charity of others, is out of charity. It's gone. And she's hopeless. But see, God knew more than she did. God knows beyond our hope. Any of you ever give up hope? Honestly, we have, haven't we? Sometimes we give up hope for ourselves, but sometimes we give up hope on others. I don't think they can be healed. I don't think they can be reached. I don't think they're going to get any better. So that's where we are here. Ran out of hope. But God knew what was beyond her hope. And God knows what's beyond our hope. I apologize for my voice. As you could tell, I was talking normally when I came in. But it's gone. Verse 14. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. You see, Elijah didn't listen to the excuse. He didn't try to comfort her in her sorrow. He just said, look, you make me a biscuit first, and then you make yourself a biscuit. because he knew what God had said. Put God first. God commanded her. It was in her. She knew it was in her. But she let her hopelessness overwhelm her. And so she said, well, logically, there's not enough for him and us. Elijah said, put God first. Put God first. I've said before, I'd rather you tithe and I pay your power bill than for you to not tithe to pay your power bill. I'd rather that we stay faithful to God and look outside for charity than to put God behind our purpose. God needs to be first. And so put God first and the barrel won't go empty. Now I said, I'll pay your power bill if that's what it comes down to, or your phone bill, whatever. But put God first. Don't set God to the side. Put God first. Why? Because that's God commanded her. I've commanded you to take care of this prophet. Do that first. Then you can be hopeless. But his promise never comes hopeless. His promise came with hope. And so she went, verse 15, and she did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not. Neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. If we'll remain true to God as a nation, as a church, as a family, as an individual, if we'll remain true to God first, everything else will fall in place. But when we get distracted, Lord, if that be you, bid me to come to you. Jesus looked at Peter and he said, come on out of the boat and walk on the water. And Peter got out and he walked on water. I don't know how many steps he took. But then he noticed the waves and the wind and he began to sink. Let's not pay attention to the winds and the waves and the noise. What did God say to do? God commanded the ravens to feed Elijah. And they did every day, twice a day. God commanded the widow to provide for Elijah. No matter what else, provide for him. And the barrel will never run dry. That's our promise. God, we love you. We're thankful for your goodness. And pray you'll give us grace as we go. Give us a wonderful day of celebration tomorrow with our families and friends, and most especially, giving thanks to you. We thank you for our church. We thank you for your love. We pray that you will show us your heart and guide us each step. In Jesus' name, amen.